Hey, witches. Welcome back to another episode of Glow Girl. I'm your host, April Ekweiland. And oh my God, can I just, it has been a whirlwind of a couple of weeks. And I have so much going through my head, so many things I want to talk about and put out there for you all. And oh man, so I have been away across the pond. I was over in England, and let me just tell you, I really didn't want to come back. I almost asked for my microphone and computer to be sent to me so I could just hang out over there in a field in nature and, you know, record the podcast from over there. But man, the things that we did and the things I experienced were just absolutely amazing. And this week, I wanted to kind of talk with you guys about some things that I did experience over there in a magical sense, in an energetic sense, and kind of take this this week's episode in a little bit of a different direction. So we went over there. It was my family and I, so it was my husband and my two children, Zoe and Jared. They're 21 and 19, respectively. And so this is a family trip. We had actually planned to do this back in 2020, but we know that that didn't happen. So we decided to go this May, as soon as they were done with their spring term at school. And, you know, being excited about going on a trip, especially a place that I've never been. I've never been to Europe, anywhere in Europe. You know, so there's all of that. There's all the nerves and the, you know, the anxieties of traveling somewhere you've never been before. But this trip was truly magical in ways. And, you know, when we got there, we did the typical, you know, touristy things. We visited a lot of the typical places, but we did have a lot of things on our map that we wanted to make sure that we saw. And a lot of them were because of me and things that I wanted to make sure that we did. So one of the things, and I'm pretty sure I've mentioned it on episodes before, one of the things I like to do when I travel is I do like to visit various cemeteries. I have always been drawn to cemeteries, and the older, the better. I just think that they are magical and beautiful places in themselves. And I find so much peace when I'm at a cemetery. And it was really important to me when we were over in England to go to Highgate Cemetery. So that cemetery has two sides. It has an east and a west side. And both were beautiful. Both had just amazing monuments and sculptures and gardens that, you know, were just throughout the whole entire space. And it's hard to explain, really. It's really hard to put into words. When you walk in, I always say that my favorite scent is like the scent from a cemetery. And to explain it, and you're probably like, what the absolute hell is she talking about? When I try to explain it, it's like that earthy scent, that earth with like a little bit of like fall leaves and some rain in the air. And of course, in England, we got quite a bit of rain. But it's that scent that I always just, you know, when I think of a cemetery, that's what comes to mind. If I smell it, it's like, oh, it just kind of just brings me back to like some of my favorite places that I visited. So when we walked into Highgate, I was just in awe. And it was almost like just the whole energy about myself just completely changed. And I, when I go to places, when I go to cemeteries that especially have like either notable people that are buried there, or it has a specific kind of, you know, history about it, I of course like to go and seek out these places in there. But a lot of times when I go in, I will just let the energy pull me in the direction that I want to go. And that's what I did here. I knew there were some places that I did want to go, some graves that I did want to visit, George Michael's being one of them. But I really just, when we walked in, I just allowed the energy to just kind of pull me. And it was actually a rainy day. It was a rainy morning when we went. So it was very overcast and, you know, raining some where we did need umbrellas. And just walking through there, listening to the birds, listening to the little bit of a breeze that went by, just listening, just opening up my senses and listening and letting the energy of the place guide me. It was just amazing. The feeling that I got. So we did, you know, we walked around, we did go to some notable sites. Like I mentioned, I did go to, pay my respects at George Michael's, grave. And, you know, we went around the cemetery, both sides. And, you know, I have mentioned in other episodes that when I do go into cemeteries, especially in ones that I have a real purpose for being there, I do have certain things that I do. You know, I leave offerings, especially if I am going to be using some dirt, going to be taking some dirt from there. I make sure that I leave the appropriate offerings. And I was able to get some dirt from Highgate. I actually did it right at a crossroads. So I have that, you know, I have that with me here at home, in my room, in a jar, just, you know, waiting to be used whenever I feel the need to use it. But going there and just exploring that space was just amazing. Not only the history of the space and the people who are buried there, but just the whole just area. And it over there, it is kind of like how it used to be in cemeteries over here in the States, you know, back in the days, where people would go there. They would go there to just walk around, have a picnic, you know, just be in that space, whether they were visiting loved ones' graves or not. And we saw a lot of that while we were in Highgate, just people walking and enjoying the grounds and the blooms that were around, and just, you know, just taking it all in. So if you've never like gone into and walked through, you know, a cemetery, if you have one in, you know, near you, especially if it's an old one with some history that you can maybe get some information on, I highly recommend it. I know it's not for everybody. Not everybody likes them. I just tend to like them. I know maybe you think I'm weird. Oh, well. But just the energy that is in there is just, you know, you can feel it. You can feel the good, you can feel the not so good. And so if you're somebody that has to maybe ground themselves, you know, afterwards, you know, definitely do that. I always make sure that I do. I make sure I cleanse myself as well. So it's just, it really is a way to connect. And, you know, it can connect, you know, you can connect to your ancestors, you can connect to the energy of the place that you're in. And, you know, just kind of see where it takes you. So we did that. And, you know, besides going all around, you know, London and that, we also went into the Tower of London. And a lot of people told me to kind of be careful there, not because it's a dangerous place, just because the energy that is in that space. You know, there was a lot of stuff that happened there. And I have to say that, you know, it was an amazing thing to see and to learn about. I'm still kind of learning about it and, you know, all of the stories there. But honestly, my big thing about going there, I mean, we went up into some of the towers and, you know, we walked around and saw like the torture room and, you know, and things like that. But my main thing of going there was I wanted to see the ravens. Ravens have always been my favorite. And I've just always felt a connection with the raven. And I wanted to be around them. I wanted to see them. And I heard one of the guides there mentioned, I think they have 8 ravens there, if I heard them correctly. And they just, you know, they're just all over the place. They kind of walk around, fly around. And I was actually able to, when we were walking around, we were actually walking up some steps up to one of the upper levels of the tower. And as we rounded the corner, there was a raven just kind of hanging out there, just eating some bread that somebody left for them. And I got just super close. Like I could reach my hand out and touch them if I wanted to. I didn't, even though I really, really wanted to. But, you know, I was able to get, you know, really close and just kind of sit there and just be like, hey, bud, what's up? And, you know, just kind of take in its beauty. And then the universe likes to work in some magical ways. As we were walking around, you know, they keep the place immaculately clean, by the way. And as we are walking around, I'm like, man, I would love to be able to get a raven feather, just to get a raven feather. And I'm just like, man, it would be so cool if I could get one. And we walked a few steps and I looked down and there was one against the fence. Normally, a lot of them, as we saw later on, were way down in areas like where the ravens are capped. Like they had like this, like, I guess like cage area where they can go. But a lot of it was in places where, you know, you couldn't even reach into because it was too far away. But this was right there, right up against the walkway. And, you know, I reached down and grabbed it, said thank you, and brought it home. And so I feel, you know, I have that connection now with that feather. Feathers have always been a thing for me as well. So I love that I was able to bring home a raven's feather. So it's just as we continued, you know, our journey, as we continued this vacation, we just started just kind of taking in different moments, taking in the different energies that were around us. And we got to go to one of my bucket list places. I mean, the whole trip was a bucket list, but one of my bucket list places, which was Oxford, and to go to the Bodleian Library. So you're probably wondering, well, what the hell does that have to do with witches and witchcraft and all of that? And, you know, back in the day, you know, who knows what it entailed. But another part of me is I love books. I love old books and I love, absolutely adore old libraries. So I had known about, obviously, about Oxford and such, you know, just from, you know, knowing it's a school, people go to it. But I was really introduced to it a lot more, and the different colleges around Oxford, and particularly the Bodleian Library, from reading The Discovery of Witches by Deb Harkness. And I had always said that if I made it over to England, that I was going to go to Oxford and I was going to go to the Bodleian Library with my book. I was going to take that book with me, and we were going to go to the Bodleian Library, and we were going to see how far into the library we could get. And we did. We were able to get a little 30-minute tour. So for those Harry Potter fans, the Divinity School was also used in the Harry Potter movies as the infirmary. So we got to spend some time in the Divinity School, and then we got to spend some time in the Duke Humphreys Library, which is the old library. I mean, these books that are in there, oh my gosh, they are just so old and just absolutely gorgeous. And again, this is another one of those places that if I could bottle the smell and just go around and sniffing it all day, or put it in a candle or air freshener or something, oh my God, I would, because it's just like you walk in and you are just immediately like just taken back in history. And like, we had a tour guide and she was talking. I heard some of it, but I was just mostly just looking all around, my mouth wide open, just in awe of the place. And that's all I wanted to do, was just go further into the library and just sit at one of the desks and just look at one of the books, just to look at it. Didn't even care what the subject was. I just wanted to look at it. But there was just something so energetic and magical about being there and being in that space with all of that knowledge, and to know that people today still use those books in, you know, in their research and in their work. It was just I was in awe. I mean, I still, just talking about it, it just makes me just, oh, I'm in awe of it. And, you know, a little, you know, book nerdish, you know, geeked out on it when I was there, because yes, I did have my copy of Discovery of Witches. And I took many, many pictures of me holding it and me putting it places around campus and in the library and such. But I just the magic of being there and kind of actually being able to see and visualize what was described in the book and what I kind of imagined it would be, and then being able to see it in real life and feeling that energy of the space. I literally, just before we left, I just had to stand there. I just stood there. I mean, there was a lot of people around. I just stood there in the middle of the courtyard outside of the library and just closed my eyes and just took it all in. It was just amazing. It was just absolutely amazing. So let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we get back, I'm going to share some more magic. Happiness does not always come from within. Nothing makes me happier than a little friendly competition. Sure. Inner peace is great and all, but you know what's better? Making it to level 115 in Best Fiends. That is what true satisfaction feels like. I am currently all in on the cheesy mystery event that's happening right now, and I'm collecting so many rewards. Plus, I'm collecting tons of fiends that get powered up every time I play more levels. Every win brings new challenges, thousands of puzzles to play, new in-game events are added all the time, and with thousands of levels, there's always more ways to play. So go ahead and let enough is never enough be your mantra. Download Best Fiends for free from the App Store, Google Play, plus earn even more with $5 worth of in-game rewards when you reach level 5. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. And we're back. So, some of you who are in the Girls community on Facebook may have seen my lives that I did when I was across the pond. And if you haven't, they are there. They're still there. You'll just have to search for them. And hey, if you're not in that community, why aren't you? You need to be. This is how you get some insider stuff. This is how you get to come along with me on my trip. This is how you get to get some, you know, cool witchy advice that gets dropped in there. So get on there if you're not in there. But anyways, when I was over there, I went live a few times. And they were to share some of Glastonbury when we were there and of Stonehenge. So when we were in Glastonbury, one of the things that we did was we went to the Chalice Well. And the Chalice Well is, if this is a place that could just have the energy of just peace and calm and serenity and just knowing that you belonged somewhere. Chalice Well is it. Oh my gosh. It was a magical place. It was such a peaceful place and beautiful to boot. I mean, the gardens there are great. The pools that are there and the spring head that is there. And then the chalice well where the spring begins. Just absolutely magical just a magical place to be. I know it sounds weird and I keep saying it, but it's like words just can't describe the places that we went and the energy that was felt there. I highly recommend, you know, if you like to travel, if you want to travel, that you go to places that have this awesome energy. Because just when you're there, you'll know what energy I'm talking about. So when we were there at the Chalice Well, you know, we walked the grounds. It's not a huge place. You know, people come, they sit, they have picnics, they meditate. You know, they have different events there. But, you know, we walked around, we walked the grounds. We got to go to the spring, and I was able to fill up these tiny little flasks that they actually sell in the gift shop with the water. And I actually filled up my water bottle as well. They say that the water there is very healing. It's very cold, which was awesome, and tastes a little irony, but was great to have. And, you know, I filled up my water bottle while I was there, and I drank the bottle while I was there, and use what was left to actually do a little cleansing ritual with myself when I got back to our hotel that night. And I filled up these little flasks with water and brought them back with me and gave them to some friends and family and some of the girls that work at the shop for me. And then we spent some time by the well, where it all starts. And it's a quiet space, and we were able to actually have it all to ourselves when we were there. And I was able to leave some offerings and just kind of spend that time. And one of the awesome things while I was there experiencing this, you know, not only was I there with my family, but I was there with my soul sister, my best friend, the person who gets me the most, Ava. She actually lives back across the pond again. And she spent the day with us in Glastonbury when we went to Chalice Well and did all of our shopping and that. And we got to spend it there. And there is just nothing more magical to be able to experience this and experience this energy with somebody who you connect with on a soul level and who understands you and doesn't think that what you're doing is weird and everything, and is just as magical and into the magic as you are. So it was a great, great experience to share that with her. Once we left the Chalice Well, we went to another magical place, and I did a live in the Girls community with this, and this was going up to the Glastonbury tour, and it's high up on a hill, so it was a hike. But let me tell you, when you get up to the top and you can just see just for miles around and just be up there and feel that energy, it is the most amazing thing that you could do. It was just absolutely amazing. So with this space, it was a it was a personal, you know, achievement for me, being able to get up there and being able to enjoy the, you know, the views and the energy of the space. It was just absolutely breathtaking. So if you check out in the Girls Girls Facebook page, you'll be able to see some sights from up there. So I wanted to save the last one, the best one actually, for last, I should say, and that was going to Stonehenge. Now, Stonehenge is just obviously magical in itself, and we were able to go and do a tour before it even opens. So back in the day, you when you visited Stonehenge, you used to be able to go inside the stone circles. Well, because, you know, these stones are very old and, you know, they can get ruined by people touching them, climbing on them and stuff and such. Now when you go and visit, you stay outside of the stone circle and it's like kind of roped off. It's just like this thin little rope. But there's a walkway that goes around it. So that's as close as you can get to the stones. However, they have a special tour that they do in the morning and at night before it opens and after it closes, where you can actually go inside the stone circle. And that is what we did. So we got up really, really early and we got the last morning tour before everything opened. So it was the 8 a.m. tour. And you start at the visitor center. They take you by bus out to the stones. And when you get off the bus and you walk up to them, you know, you do kind of look at them and you're like, wow, the space they occupy doesn't seem as large as it does, you know, when you see it on TV or in pictures, but it does not take away from its magic and its beauty. And once you walk into them, I can just say that my whole being was just buzzing. It was absolutely buzzing. And you're only in there with about 30 people. So there's not a lot of people around. You have room to just kind of walk and enjoy, you know, listening to the guide if you wanted to listen to him, ask questions if you wanted to ask questions. But I did, you know, walk around, and I do have to say, it took every bit of just complete discipline to not reach out and touch those stones. That's all I wanted to do. That's all I wanted to do was just touch the stones. And it was hard. It was really hard. I did it though. But one thing that I did do, and it was raining and it was cold, I didn't care. I took my shoes off down to my bare feet and I stood on the grounds within the circle, and I just took in that energy. Also, while I was doing that, I had some crystals down on the ground, and I also had some jewelry that I wanted to charge, get the energy from Stonehenge on the jewelry that I now, you know, wear all the time. And the crystals that I put out, I specifically brought specific crystals with me that I knew I wanted to have based on their properties and bring. And I brought two of them, one to charge and bring back with me, and then another one to leave as an offering. So that is what I did. I put them down. I stood with my bare feet just on the ground, and the cold and the rain just disappeared. It was almost like I had this like bubble around me and nothing was bothering me. Nothing was cold. It wasn't wet. I couldn't even really hear any of the people that were around me talking. And it wasn't like everybody was really loud or anything, but it was like, it was just me. I was the only one in that circle. And I just closed my eyes and I just took in the energy of this space. And that's one thing with my practice. And I don't know about you guys, but that's one thing with my practice is when I go to places, whether they're magical or not, whether they have a magical significance or not, I like to take in the energy. I like to listen. I like to feel. I like to smell. I like to take it all in. It helps me connect to it. And, you know, part of my practice is connecting with, you know, the energy around me. And this place allowed me to do that. And I got to soak in all of its energy as well. And after I did that, you know, I scooped up my crystals, put them away, and then I scooped up the crystals that I was leaving as an offering, and I walked over to the heal stone, which is actually outside of the stone circle, and that's where I left my offering. I left it in the grass that's right around the heal stone. The grass kind of grows a little bit longer, right, you know, right against the stone. So I just kind of tossed them in there, still fighting the urge to want to touch them. But I left my offering and spent some time at the heal stone looking at looking in. I did go live here really, really quickly in the Girls community, although it was like 3 a.m. Eastern time back here because it's 5-hour time difference over in England. So it was middle of the night for you guys, but it was so magical to be able to share that, to be able to share that energy. And I hope that whoever watched it was able to kind of get a glimpse of what that energy is and maybe feel something themselves. I remember in 2020, when we were supposed to go, we were actually supposed to go around Christmas time, and it was a plan to be at Stonehenge at the winter solstice. And I got to watch it on TV. That was just a live feed that they did. There was nobody there because, you know, COVID. And but to just be able to watch it and feel that energy from just watching it through a TV screen, and then 2 years later, be able to stand there inside the circle and feel that energy. It just stayed with me the whole day. I mean, the whole rest of the day, the whole rest of the trip, you know. And now I have pieces that have been there that I brought back that I can now hold and use in my workings when I want to tap into that energy, when I want to grasp that energy, when I need that energy to be filled again, I can use that. So I recommend that, you know, whenever you go to places, bring some things with you. You know, obviously, if you want to leave offerings, if it's appropriate to leave offerings, you can do that. But maybe bring things with you that maybe you want to charge with that place's energy and allow yourself to do that. So then when you want to tap back into it, you can. You have this object, you have this thing with you. And not only is it a cool memento that you have, but it's something that you can hang on to and use in your practice whenever you need to call on that energy. So I could go on and on and on, and I've, you know, gone on and on and on about this trip. But I need to move on with this episode and get to the card of the week. So card of the week this week is Page of Wands. And this is all about the energy of new beginnings and kind of working with those new creative ideas that you have. Listen to your unconscious. You want to follow those urges that you have, follow those creative urges. And when you're persistent and you have that strength and that balance in your life, this vision that you have can become a reality. And when you have this energy, you know, the wands is that fiery energy. When you have this energy in you, it allows you to make your things happen. It makes your ideas come to life, and it makes things happen. It's all about the action. And you want to make sure that you take advantage of this new phase in your life, whatever that is, take advantage of it and take action. So I hope this episode gave you a little insight on the magic that I discovered while over in England. And I'll share some more like on our socials, on Facebook and on Instagram, and I'll share some pictures and some information. It is really a lot to talk about and just a lot. I could talk for hours about the experience over there. But thank you for joining me. Thank you for letting me share this experience with you. Like I said, if you have not joined the Girls Girls Community Facebook page, you need to. This will give you a glimpse into what I was talking about. You can go back through the posts and find my lives there from Glastonbury, from Chalice Well, and from the tour, and from Stonehenge, and get a glimpse of that energy that I am talking about. And you get to be with a bunch of your besties. I mean, who wouldn't want to be in a group with a bunch of your besties? Seriously, you need to do it. Anyways, thank you so much for being with me this week. This has been a production of Girls Girls Media, music by Breakmaster Cylinder. I look forward to sharing more magic with you as the weeks go on, and maybe share a little bit more from my adventures and magic from across the pond. Thank you so much for joining me. Take care, witches. Blessed be.